Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette. I'm with Action International Ministries Uganda. And by the Lord's goodwill, it's my joy to be with you once again this Lord's Day morning as we continue to take a good, close, deep look at verses in Ephesians chapter 3. Today, my friends, we consider the truth that's found in verses 8 through 13. And so please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin in verse 8 soon to hear the living word of God. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143. Learn more about Action International Ministries Uganda at www.actionuganda.net. We thank the Lord for these precious words, which are life and blessing to our souls for each one of us who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let us now pray and ask the Lord to bless His holy word once again to our very hearts. Lord, Your word is life to us, and the gospel is life, because, Lord Jesus Christ, You are alive, and You have given us Your life through the gospel. And I praise You, Lord, that in this great and mysterious way, You speak to us, and Your words form and transmit spiritual life into our hearts. Oh, make us alive in Christ, full of Christ today, Lord. Make us lively in Your grace. And we thank You for Your grace and ability and power to do this, that You alone give life, You alone can speak and bring life into our hearts. How wonderful You are to us, Lord. And so bless each precious word of life that we will receive today. Teach us and then lead us to see Your glory in all of these things. Have Your glory in Your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So, my friends, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Father, we thank You for the word. Bless it. Strengthen us. Bless Your people today, Lord, with all grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so, my friends, in this section of verses, Paul begins to teach us more about a great mystery, a truth that was hidden before that has now been revealed, and the great purpose in God's giving the ministry. The great and wise God, the God who has manifold wisdom, that is, manifold meaning that there is wisdom in a variegated or many-sided way. God has wisdom in various and many capacities. He is not God who is wise in only one respect, but He is wise in really a great many respects. He is the infinitely wise God. His wisdom is without limit, and this wisdom is held by God in this many-sided way. He has wisdom which he has and enjoys in Himself. And it's to be found, as we look upon God and discover more about His wisdom, to be seen in variegated ways. God has a multifaceted wisdom. And so this great mystery is revealing to us that God's wisdom is multifaceted. There are many parts of it. It is complex. It is not a simple wisdom. It is a complex wisdom which involves many components. And one of the great aspects of God's wisdom is this revealing of the mystery of the fellowship that Christians have with Christ in the gospel. Notice there in verse 8 that Paul terms himself less than the least of all the saints. Paul is speaking about himself. The verse is prefaced with the two words, to me. Paul is obviously speaking about himself. Paul sees himself to be less than the least of all the saints. But he declares in verse 8 that grace was given to him. And in this expression, less than the least, we see Paul's lowliness of heart and we see his humility. Truly, the man who wrote, "Let the mind of Christ Jesus dwell in you," was a man in whom the mind and heart of Christ did dwell. The proud Saul is become the humble Paul, who considers himself, because of his great sinfulness, both before Christ and after Christ, to be less than the least. If we would imagine that the least saint in your local church today would be the person who comes to pray and who loves Jesus, but who is responsible for sweeping up the church compound or the yard or perhaps the church building, the custodian, the janitor of the church, we might consider him to be the least of the saints. He's not a great speaker. He's not a great orator. He's not in front of the people Sunday after Sunday preaching the riches of Christ. He has a rather simple and lowly job in the church. And so, as an example, if we take this man or woman to be the least of the saints in a church, Paul says that he is in himself less than the least of the saints. And this brings to mind David's thoughts that he desired, if it were possible, to be a doorkeeper in the house of God. The great king of Israel, who was gifted in many marvelous ways, the psalmist, the prophet of Israel, this great man of God says that if it were necessary and profitable and good in God's sight, that he would be supremely blessed to be the man who opens and closes the door. These descriptions by Paul and David open up to us the truth of the lowliness of Christ, who came as a servant to serve us, and God's great esteem of Christ, the servant of the Lord, who stooped so low as to shed his life's blood for us in his lowly and loving service to sinners. Christ came to wash us with his own blood, and Christ's mind has transformed Paul so that Paul rejoices to call himself less than the least of all the saints. Notice that he puts himself at the very bottom of the reckoning here, and we can't help but notice often when we read Paul's letters that Paul refers to himself in this way. His real humiliation of heart is expressed. Paul is not simply putting on a false humility by using lowly terms for himself. He's not just saying something to give an impression. No, he's communicating the sacred truth that Paul has come to see himself by the marvelous grace of God that has exalted the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to highest glory, to be a very sinful and humble and lowly man, to indeed see himself to be the less, the least of all, the chief of sinners. And the marvelous thing is that when the grace of God impacts a human heart like Paul's, then we begin to see what we really are in God's reckoning and true estimation. And we begin to feel our own corruptions, and we begin to be humbled as we see the evil in us. Our thinking is impure. Our desires are often wicked. Our actions and words fail God's standard. They fall far short of God's glorious standard of giving glory to God and loving our neighbor with all of our heart. And so the saved man who has received grace sees himself in this capacity. And so Paul, full of grace, Paul, blessed by Jesus, declares the truth that he is the less than the least of all the saints, but privileged and graced and blessed by God to preach the gospel. My friend, our true reckoning comes through grace, and a Christian is one who has come to real terms with the reality of God, his nature. He knows God, and he has come to see his own nature. He also knows himself, and he has come to reality in terms of knowing his fellow men. He has a true estimation of himself, and the true Christian must declare by the Spirit, because the Spirit in him exalts Christ and humbles the man, that he too is lowly. He too is sinful. He too is not worthy of the least of God's mercies. And so this is our blessedness. Psychology sometimes tricks us to think that we must esteem ourselves to get out of the misery of knowing our wickedness or knowing our inability and failure. It says that we must rethink the issue and see ourselves to be better and good and exalted. But the Bible does not trick us like man's psychology. The Bible frees us by revealing to us our sinfulness. Indeed, the man who has come to see his own corruption, who has been humiliated under the mighty grace, the saving grace of God, is a man who is now free to declare the truth about himself and to mourn for his sin. He has come to learn that he is very sinful. He is not worthy. He is less than the least. And in this glorious truth, he then is led from his heart to exalt Christ and see the glory and perfection and beauty and love of God in Jesus Christ, and to say truly from his heart that he must decrease in his sinfulness, but God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, must increase in his glory and righteousness. And so we are truly set free from our sinful selves when we trust in Christ and begin to confess our sins to God and to mourn for our sin, and then look and see and know and feel and love the blessed Jesus, who never sinned, the perfect man who loves us. That is our true freedom from the awful fact that we are broken sinners, failures, and that we continue to sin and fail God. And so don't seek to pump yourself up in your own estimation, but trust in Christ and see the reality and exalt Christ in your estimation. Humble yourself. See yourself for what you are, a sinner, loved by God, graced by God, saved by God. And then with all of your heart, rejoice in what God has done for you, a redeemed sinner. This is a wonderful blessing. Paul declares this truth so clearly to us that this very blessed man sees himself to be less than the least of all the saints. But in reality, Paul, too, knows that he has received precious grace from God. This very humble, unworthy man has been given the precious grace of God in verse 8. And this grace is necessary so that he will preach among the Gentiles, that is, amongst peoples who have not heard of the God of the Jews many times, or people who are ignorant of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is given special grace, which is essential for gospel declaration in this real pioneer work that God has given him to do, to preach to the Gentiles, to the unknowing peoples of the planet, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And let us make note that Paul, again, a humble man, has come to see that it is grace alone working through him in preaching that will bring power and regeneration to those who hear him. It is grace alone that is powerful to reach through Paul to other people. Paul's ministry is a ministry marked by the wonderful grace of God that resulted in the salvation and regeneration of many, many people, in the founding of many Christian churches. It is grace that was given to Paul that resulted in his being a prophet, an apostle, in giving us the very word of God, in revealing these great truths to us. The humble man has come to see that grace is absolutely necessary. It is essential for him as a person in his personal salvation, and it is absolutely essential for him in the ministry, in this great work of bringing the gospel to those who had never heard of God's crucified and resurrected Son before. This is indeed the essential, the prerequisite for every preacher of the gospel, that God's grace would save and regenerate the lost who are hearing the gospel, that God's grace would powerfully change them, those who are saved in their sanctification, that God's grace will lead them in the growth and knowledge of Jesus, that it is God's grace that would overcome the preacher's sin and weakness, inability, that it is God's grace that would build his church, and that God would build the individual Christians and build the corporate body of the church and build the church throughout planet Earth, the universal church. It is grace that is necessary. It is the power of God unto salvation that is necessary to change human beings. And so Paul rejoices that he, unable in himself, has been given grace by God to preach this remarkable thing that God has sent him to say, to preach Christ and his unsearchable riches. The idea in this wonderful term, the unsearchable riches of Christ, is that these riches are beyond human capacity to discover fully. Paul is referring here to the infinitely rich treasure that Christ gives. His grace is infinite. It is without limit. And all of his riches, all of his good and blessing is infinite in its measure. Part of the unsearchable riches of Christ, this infinite eternal treasure that is found in Christ, is found in the teaching of Christ, in the gospel. And we want to see in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, truth about the riches and glory in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 27 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Here, Paul is also revealing to us a very similar truth as we find it in Ephesians chapter 3. Notice that he is a preacher of the mysteries of God. Here he tells us that God willed to make known to the Colossians the riches of the glory of this mystery. Again, this is the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is the infinite treasure of Christ and his grace found in the gospel that gives truth to men. This is the precious, unsearchable riches that brings a man to be counted righteous and fully accepted with God. This is the unsearchably rich treasure that comes, that the condemned are counted righteous, that the dead come to life, that the grace which is totally undeserved by a sinner comes so freely and fully, this infinite grace, that the man is redeemed from his sins. He is bought back from spiritual captivity and death, and that he is given the unsearchably rich blessing of life with Christ. Life in Christ. Eternal and abundant life, which is infinitely blessed and infinitely spiritually rich. All of this comes in the preaching, the glory, the rich glory of the mystery of Christ coming to the Gentiles. And this mystery, Paul tells us there in Colossians 1:27, is the knowledge now made known, and that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so Christ is our unsearchably great riches, and his gospel is our unsearchably great riches. He is our treasure, and all of the riches of God come to us in Jesus Christ. We find in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, verse 9, this glorious verse, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich." This verse refers to the spiritual riches that Christ had. This does not refer to material riches primarily. This refers to the spiritual riches that Christ had. And he gave up his glory, his infinitely due honor and respect and love that he always had with the Father. And he became a servant, a man who was despised, in fact, for his lowly service of coming to die for the people of God. These true riches Jesus gave up and became poor in this spiritual sense. Though he was eternally the Son of God and always was God in his incarnation, he became the lowly servant who came to bleed and die in his ministry, his service to God, taking the very lowest place, going into the grave in his lowly service. And so his spiritual riches, though, my friends, continue. This is Christ's inheritance. The reward for his lowly service, his work of saving God's people, is that he is exalted to the right hand of God and is the heir of all of God's estate, if you will. All that is good, all that is blessed, has become the Messiah's, by virtue of the truth that he is alive from the dead. He has ascended to the throne of God. All of God's riches have been bequeathed to his heir, the Son of God. And back to Ephesians chapter 3, Paul here is referring to this great inheritance that believers, Jew and Gentile, share in Christ. All has been given to the heir, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all who have been united to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith have also become heirs and the recipients of the infinite blessing, the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, we must make clear this morning that the desire for riches that we have as a human being will be fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And I want to be careful about what I say, and I want to use very exact words to describe this meaning to you, my meaning to you. I believe that God has built us in such a way that as people, as human beings, we are aware of our needs. And there is a part of us that longs for good and riches and blessings in this sense. When we are greedy, this desire for riches is corrupted, and we begin to think that our great needs will be met in money or material possessions. That's the lie of materialism and the lie of loving money or mammon. But there is a part of us, because we are built by God in this way, that desires true riches. And true riches are described for us in these verses in the Bible that I've been sharing with you this morning, to be found in Christ. Eternal riches, true value, everlasting blessing, everlasting good. His value, His blessing far exceeds, infinitely exceeds the value of earthly money. And so as you find in your heart that you begin to desire for truth and good and true riches and true blessing in life, then remember that you must look to Christ for those blessings. Christ is the source of all blessing. And these terms that we find, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of Christ, Christ, the glorious riches of God, these ideas all take us back to the truth that He is a spiritual being, He is God, and that God desires to bless us spiritually. God knows that we are material beings. He will also bless us, of course, materially. Our real material needs in Jesus will be met, but the heart longs and hungers for spiritual riches, fulfillment, satisfaction, grace, forgiveness, acceptance, love, beauty, fellowship, and communion, for instance. And all of these spiritual blessings can only be found in the source, Jesus Christ, who is the giver of the gospel to us. In fact, there in Colossians 1:27, we see that Christ is linked to His gospel. The riches of God comes from Christ, and the riches of God comes in the gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us there in verse 9 that he has been given a gospel, a ministry, to make all see what is the fellowship of the ministry. This was Paul's apostolic work, to make the blind to see, to preach Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ, that men may be led spiritually to glorify Him and love Him and trust Him. And so that is the true work of a minister today, to make people see the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, our time is gone, but let us pray now. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for our Savior and Lord. Thank You that He is the heir of all things, and that You have blessed us who believe in Him to share as heirs, fellow heirs, Jew and Gentile, with Christ, so that we share all that is His. How generous You are, Father. How eternally blessed we shall be to enjoy these gifts as heirs of Christ, all given to us freely by Your grace and love. You have blessed us, and we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We glorify Him and love Him today. We lift Him up in our hearts. He is wonderful and marvelous. All praise to You, Lord Jesus Christ. All praise to You, our Father. All praise to You, Spirit of God, who has revealed Christ to our hearts. We thank You. We bless You, Tata. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, look to the glorious Christ in your hearts by faith.